Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Today, we're talking about three controversial court cases in the headlines this week. You check in on any or all of them. By the way, it's only you and me. I mean, that's all. It's you out there and it's me. That's it. Nothing between us. First, the Oklahoma-based craft chain Hobby Lobby and a Pennsylvania furniture maker won their court challenges Monday, in which they refused to pay for two emergency contraceptive pills and two intrauterine devices. And today, the Supreme Court upheld lower court orders that apply to companies owned by Catholics who oppose all contraception. The rulings have sparked a strong emotional response around the nation about women's rights and First Amendment rights. Also on Monday, the justices ruled in Harris versus Quinn that home health care workers in Illinois cannot be compelled to financially support a union that they don't wish to join. Illinois is one of the 26 states that require public sector workers, such as firefighters, police officers, and teachers, to pay partial dues to unions that negotiate their contracts and represent them in grievances, even if the employees found the union's advocacy work distasteful. Meanwhile, the New York State's top court, the Court of Appeals, has ruled that local officials can approve zoning laws to ban hydraulic fracturing within their borders. The State Court of Appeals has affirmed a lower court ruling that state oil and gas law doesn't trump the authority of local governments to control land use. And we want to know your reaction. There are five open phones right now, and I'd like you to be on one of them. We want to know your reaction to these rulings. They're controversial for certain. Will these open the door for more nation-dividing precedents? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. Write it down, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. Just go to VoxPop at WMC.org or WMC.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/WMC Radio. And you can tweet your questions and comments, and I'd love you to do that, at WMC VoxPop. Or you can email us, and that's the one I understand the best. And by the way, there are three phones ringing right now. And you can email us at VoxPop@WAMC.org. Okay, so that's it. And we'll go to Norman in Great Barrington. Whoa, all five phones are ringing. Okay, Norman, you're on.
I wanted to point out that these runaway Supreme Court decisions that distort the Constitution are the poisonous legacy of George Herbert Walker Bush, who appointed Thomas, and George W. Bush, who appointed Roberts and Alito.
And by the way, Norman, without commenting on what you've just said, these guys, these Republican presidents, were pretty smart because they appointed young people who were going to be there forever.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and I appreciate your call, Norman. That was really nice of you to start us out this way. And always like it when you do that. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Yeah, bye. Okay, let's go to Bob in Albany. Bob in Albany, you're on.
Hi. If you are concerned about your cable TV prices, right, then the case you really should be angry at is Aereo. In that case, the American Broadcasting Company sued Aereo, claiming that it was distributing TV over the internet as a cable TV company.
And a copyright violation. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, Congress passed copyright law ever since the Constitution was passed, giving Congress the power to do that. And in the latest version, it said, even though broadcast TV is free, and even though the Betamax decision said that people at home can record free broadcast TV to watch it at a different time, the company Aereo wasn't, you know, doing recording of broadcasts. It was behaving like a cable TV company. The argument that Breyer had in his opinion was, well, it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it sounds like a duck, even though the statute Congress passed didn't actually mention that specifically, we're still going to call it cable because they're talking about the, I think, the 2002 Cable Act. Before that, there were a whole bunch of Supreme Court decisions that said cable TV companies that took free over-the-air broadcast TV and put it on their systems,
okay,
didn't have to pay because they weren't violating copyright. So
Bob, thank you very much for your call, and thanks for raising a case that we hadn't considered talking about today, but you have, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you. Okay, and let's go to Hugh in Lake Luzerne. Okay, Hugh, you're on.
Yes, I believe that the Hobby Lobby case is an assault upon freedom of religion. In my particular faith, we believe very strongly in freedom of conscience, and they are allowing my employer's beliefs to trump my own. And to me, that is an assault on constitutional rights, and this is the most activist court in history.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. And, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I have, I talked about it before. You know, in Iran is the Ayatollah, and even whatever democratic groups are elected, for example, our president was elected overwhelmingly, then you get the same thing as the Grand Ayatollah saying in Iran, no, we're not listening to you because I'm the chief. And we have the court doing that now. There's something, it seems to me, pretty wrong. Now, my luncheon companion today said, well, you know, you don't know what you're talking about because, you know, there have been times when the court has been on this, your philosophical side. So what are you talking about? I say, yeah, but the courts were right then, not wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm inclined to agree with a bit of a chuckle.
Thanks an awful lot, Hugh. Appreciate
okay.
it. Okay. Yeah, bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551, two free phones. We're getting them done fast. Let's go to Jason in Spencertown. Okay, Jason in Spencertown, go.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
First, I have two comments. First, about the whole Hobby Lobby ruling by the Supreme Court. I imagine that is their prerogative. I don't agree that that's their that should be their position, but I believe anyone who is pro-choice and believes our health care should be full health care. If they're going to cover Viagra, they should certainly cover contraception. People should just take their business elsewhere, vote with their wallets, shut them down.
Well, don't you think there's a sense that some people will do that? On the other hand, I suspect some people will do exactly the opposite. They'll go there because they agree with it, and there are enough of them to keep them in business for a long time.
Well, yeah, I guess this is what people should kind of just choose to do, is support those that have similar political beliefs or moral beliefs, perhaps. And the other question is about the hydrofracking, and I'm not sure this has been covered a lot. I'm a geologist by training.
Right.
Hydrofracking is not necessarily safe. My belief is they could probably do it very safe. The question is, can they do it and turn a profit doing it? And right now it seems to be they're cutting to the lowest common denominator, which means get it out of the ground quick.
So let me ask you a question, Jason. Can they do it efficiently and make a profit?
Well, I don't think they can make as much of a profit as they'd like.
Well, not as much, but can they make it?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
We're awash in natural gas right now. That gas isn't going anywhere. We could sit on it, and perhaps in the future we can come up with ways that are truly safe to get it out of the ground. The price of the natural gas will go up, and everyone might perhaps be best served. The thing I like about natural gas is it's a good bridge fuel getting us off the fossil fuel grid. Fossil fuels are just that. They're dead and they're buried. We should try to get them that way.
Okay, Jason. Jason, I've got to take a break.
Okay.
I thank you very much for the call. Remembering, of course, that there's two sides to that coin. Not only can some towns, which have done it, vote negatively on that, but a few can vote, yeah, we want the economic development in our town. And that gives me pause because what we don't know is whether it's safe or not yet. And therefore, how do you do something that might screw up your water?
It's a coin toss.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, thanks an awful lot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in about 7 seconds.
Support for WAMC comes from Unison Arts New Paltz, presenting the Sculpture Garden opening reception and main gallery exhibition of Hannah Eschel's Fissures, Sunday, July 6th at 4 p.m., unisonarts.org. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. Dr. Jonathan Sumber, podiatrist, Kingston, a second-generation practice, focusing on foot problems, laser treatment available, 845-331-0601. Northshire Bookstore, hosting Louise Penny, presenting How the Light Gets in Manchester, Vermont, Friday, July 29th, 6 p.m., northshirebookstore.com. And Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Milton, New York, featuring seasonal produce, eggs and honey from Buttermilk Falls Inn's own farm, dinner Wednesday through Sunday, lunch Friday and Saturday, and Sunday brunch, henrysatbuttermilk.com.
And I'm back. It's Alan, and it's Vox Pop, and we want to hear from you, and you are important to us, and that's why we have this program. I also want to tell you that, you know, civility is the rule, and I love you all because it's been constantly civil. Let's go to Walter in Windham. Okay, Walter, you're on.
Hi, yeah. I was wondering if you agree with me.
I'm having trouble hearing you. Are you talking to us from underwater or what?
No, I'm in my car.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I apologize, but I was wondering if you agree with me on something. I heard I believe it was a Republican Stretch, but he mentioned that the fact that the Supreme Court agreed with Hobby Lobby was a triumph for religious freedom. But I'm more on the line that it was it just shows how, like, the Supreme Court's being so against religious freedom, in that no matter what religion you are, if you work for Hobby Lobby, you have to adhere to their code.
Well, Walter, you are the second person to have made that point today, and I think it's a good point, and I thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
No problem, Alan. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Lee in Ulster. Okay, Lee, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hey. Unfortunately, I have two issues. One is the original vocabulary for religious protection was to protect small groups of people from being forced into the religious practices of larger groups of people. That was the point of the exercise, which has now been subsumed totally by this ridiculous argument that they're now making, that somehow or other the most powerful person in the equation gets to dictate to anybody else what they can or cannot do. It's bizarre to me that the court would allow it. But, you know, which is my other issue, which is in general about the court. Clarence Thomas is a crime. It's a crime that man sits on the bench. And if something isn't done, something substantive isn't done, to make the court separate and apolitical as it was in the past, it's going to be just a nightmare of these kinds
whoa,
of
whoa, 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 whoa. Lee, you know how much I respect you, but I have a question for you. What in the world makes you think it was apolitical in the past? I mean, you know, in the Roosevelt years? First, they killed everything he had, and then if politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources, believe me, they're the ultimate political branch.
I agree. However, there has always been, certainly for federal judges, there has been a line that you could not cross about your involvement in overt political groups or overt political practices. The Supreme Court has not, some persons on the Supreme Court, have not, in fact, felt that it was necessary that they follow those rules.
Well, let's put it this way. I have some agreement with you. I think the 5 to 4, those 5 are people who basically are there as representatives of the Republican establishment. I really do believe that. And, and that is a crying shame. I also believe that it's a matter of how you toss the dice. First of all, as I said before, the Bushes were very smart. They appointed young people. Young people are going to be there forever. You know, to me, the miracle is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, now in her really, you know, having fought cancer and a terrible cancer.
Oh, God bless that woman, you know, that she's still there.
It's unbelievable how she's hanging on, because you know that if she resigns and Obama appoints anybody, they're going to give her, the Senate will give her, or there'll be filibusters and everything else. So,
is it going to be any better if it's Clinton, if it's Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think so, only in that anything can happen. I don't mean this in the wrong way. I hope nobody takes this. But, you know, the longer this goes on, the more likely some unforeseen event might occur, and you might get another crack at getting a justice of a different persuasion on. You'll remember that Roosevelt had all kinds of problems, and he tried the court packing plan, and everybody ran for the hills, and he finally, you know, it was finally resolved in his favor. So anybody thinks that they're just reading the Constitution, or that they're, you know, it's just nonsense. These are five guys who are up there and who put their heads together and say, how are we going to get at the president this time? I truly believe that.
Yes, so do I.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Lee. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Cardin in New Lebanon. Cardin, you're on.
Hi there.
Hey.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
You're welcome.
So I had a comment and a question. And, you know, the comment was about the New York State ruling on local government.
Yeah, yeah.
And their ability to, I mean, that's like the ray of sunshine, you know, of like kind of a week, if you ask me, that, you know, in this situation where I frequently, and I think we frequently feel pretty powerless in kind of the juggernaut of, you know, big business and even, you know, state government or federal government when doing things that we don't agree with, that at least when it comes to this particular issue on a local level, us, you know, community members and our communities themselves can, you know, make the choices that they want to make for themselves, and hopefully that would be in the direction of protecting the water they drink and so on.
Well,
so
you say hopefully, and I tried to raise this before, probably inarticulately. But let's just say the reason that so many people are opposed to fracking, obviously, is you don't take chances with our water supply unless you know exactly what you're doing. So far, we're on the same page, right? Now, if some communities are able to say, no, we don't want it on that basis, fine. I happen to agree with that. But there will be some where the economic determinism, you know, the mighty buck says, okay, I'm going to sell my land, I'm going to go to Florida, I'm going to let them do whatever they want here, and I don't care about the water. That does disturb me.
Yeah, and it should. And, you know, I guess the downside to having community determinism is that you're right. They could determine something that
and they
you
have,
don't agree with.
And they have, and they will. And believe me, some of this fracking doesn't know where one town begins and another town takes off.
Yeah, it's like I drink your milkshake. I had one other question,
sure.
Which is, it seems to me, you know, as a WAMC listener, that there's been this like waterfall of Supreme Court decisions in the past week or two. Is there a reason why that all come out at once, or is that just?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they often wait till the last minute to do it before they go away. You know, it's like the end of the legislative session. They wait till the last minute to pass all the bills. They do this. You know, they have to divide them up. The Chief Justice assigns, unless he's in the minority, in which case the senior next guy up assigns these decisions. But it's just the 5-4 gang. That's what it is. And, you know, they wait till the end. It's perfectly natural. When did you write your term papers? In the beginning of the semester?
No. But at least the cops can't search my cell phone.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I believe that the reason they came out with a good decision there was because they all had cell phones.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And also because that gives them an opportunity for some bragging rights. You see, we're not all this way or that way. Okay, Cardin, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks, Alan.
All right. Let's go to 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Stephen in North Adams. Stephen.
Hi. So I guess I have a different opinion on the Hobby Lobby case than
Fine.
Most of the callers in
That's
so
great.
Far.
That's great. I'm glad you called.
And I guess I'll stipulate by saying that I'm nowhere near being a Republican,
yeah.
But I have a particular view on this case. So being a religious person and seeing what funding something that you believe to be morally evil can do, I think that's the religious liberty issue that people are really looking over. and let's use another corporation that was waiting to kind of hear what the ruling would be instead of Hobby Lobby. And so that's EWTN, the Catholic Media Network, so they do radio and television. Now, if they were required to pay for certain contraceptives as part of their health care plan, then they would be, in their minds, committing moral evil. And if they don't do so, they pay penalties.
Well, that's you're assuming their motive, which I wouldn't do. There may be a motive that we don't want to pay. You know, that this is our way of dealing a death blow to Obamacare. You know, in other words, you're assuming that it's just because they see it as a moral evil. But that's what they say. I don't know that that's true.
Right. So I guess, you know, being a Catholic myself, sure. I know that the church teaches that contraceptives are moral evils. And so when we're talking about these corporations,
you don't happen to think, by the way,
everyone else who's waiting every diocese in the U.S.
By the way, you don't happen to think that all Catholics feel that way, because, as you know, let me just finish the sentence. There have been many, many studies which show overwhelming majorities of Catholics who are for a woman's right to choose.
Sure, but from an Orthodox Catholic perspective, church teachings are based on public opinion. They're based on, you know, the magisterium of the church.
Yeah, sure. Papal infallibility.
The morality.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, I mean, we're not just talking corporations. We're talking every single Catholic diocese in the United States as well, who is waiting to hear an opinion on this.
Okay. Listen.
And so you either exist as a corporation and engage in something you believe to be morally evil, or you have to cease to exist.
Okay, look, Stephen, I appreciate that. I don't think you have to cease to exist. I mean, that's absurd. You don't have to cease to exist because you don't want to obey a particular religious, a particular ruling or governmental edict. They're not going to go out of business. If this had gone against them, you think that they would have ceased to exist?
Maybe I think that if it had gone against them and then they were thus required to provide contraceptives as part of healthcare plans, then if they chose to do so, then that corporation would be, in the Catholic Church's mind, committing something evil.
Sure. And just as most politicians who support Roe versus Wade and who are Catholic, and there are many, mm-hmm. some of whom have been told that they're going to be excommunicated. But I don't see that happening, by the way.
Sure, it hasn't happened, but maybe it should. I guess that's the different issue. Just because things aren't happening doesn't mean things shouldn't happen.
Stephen, I really appreciate your telephone call. It's always
right,
good to
you
hear
very
the
much.
Other side. Thanks again. Yeah. All right. 1-800-348-2551. That opens up one free phone. And our good friend Beth from Niskayuna. Beth, you're on.
Hi. I was going to say that the Obama administration knew this was coming anyway. They're planning on disconnecting health insurance from employment, and it's about money. Women have always been worth the least amount in the society. We make up the majority of minimum wage workers, and it's the same thing. So it's not a surprise. It's about cash, and women make the least money.
And by the way, Beth, I think also from a purely political point of view, I don't know that the White House is that unhappy either. You saw in the last election, Obama gets a huge number of Hispanic votes. He gets a huge number of women votes. And, you know, when the president stands up and said, this is disgraceful, it's a shame for all women, that's votes in the bank for Hillary, I'm sure.
Well, it's not for me. And I think that there's a lot of women that still have I am a far left liberal. I can't stress it enough.
Well, you've stressed it many times.
I used to volunteer for the Democratic Party. I don't buy them anymore. They're just a nice.
No, no, no. Okay, but stay with the subject, Beth. Stay with the subject.
Okay, well, at any rate, I don't want to get this right. So women are still not going to get that much help from Obamacare anyway, because the premiums are high. It's going to end up shuttering clinics. I myself prefer to go to. There's no such thing as a free clinic anymore if you're going to get any intricate care. But it's going to end up causing problems. But the plan I heard is from the administration, that I've heard the talk, different shows, whatever, I watch everything, is that they can shake their fist all they want, but it still happened. And they're planning on disconnecting health insurance. It's going to become cost prohibitive for businesses to have it. And I don't believe Obama really cares about women.
Well, okay. But you've made that point. Beth, thank you for calling. The lines are all lit up. I want to give everybody a chance. Thanks again.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, let's go to Seth in Belchertown. Okay, Seth, you're on.
Hey there, Alan. How's it going?
Well, almost okay.
Fair enough. I think that the other home health care decision is just absolutely maddening. It's an issue that hits home. My father has home health care aides because he's disabled. My girlfriend is a home health care worker. I think it's crazy that it required the SEIU to get their wages up to, what, around like $13 an hour? When these people are on the front lines of healthcare, I mean, they're the first responders for the people who most often need first response.
Okay, Seth, go back up a little bit because I'm
yeah.
a little confused. First of all,
sure.
just so that everybody's listening understands, we're talking about case number two here. We're
yes.
talking about the that part-time workers do not have to belong to unions, even if the unions are their representatives when it comes to raising their salaries or to negotiating their contracts. Now,
exactly.
your father is the recipient of one of the services of one of those home health care workers. And the Supreme Court was saying because your father is the actual employer as opposed to something else, that's where the difference is between a full-time worker and a part-time worker.
Exactly. They're not considered federal employees.
Now, where are you?
Now, where am I?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
In other words, you're calling up to comment on this, but I was unclear as to where you're going.
I'm upset with the ruling. I don't know where they find these plaintiffs. You know, my girlfriend, as I said, is a home health care worker.
Okay.
And I can't imagine anybody lobbying to get less union representation.
I taught at SUNY for a long time. I belonged to two unions for a long time. I belonged,
sure.
And I got into terrible trouble because...
Oh, yeah, I was in the UAW, I know.
I got into terrible trouble. The first one was I belonged to the, I think it was NABIT when I was on Channel 13 for all those years. They made me to join the union, even though, by the way, I was part-time, and it cost a lot. And then the second was the SUNY union, and I was doing a commentary one time and sardonic and tongue-in-cheek, and I guess looking back on it, it wasn't a good idea. And I said, I belong to these two unions, but at the TV union, they gave me a jacket and a hat. So I said, always join a union that gives you a jacket and a hat, and they took it the wrong way. So I was just trying to have fun. And then the SUNY union brought me a hat. I remember that. It was very nice. So there are always people, you say you can't even imagine it. Mike, I'm telling you, I hear it all the time. What am I getting for my money? And they're taking all my money. But they're also raising your wages. They're also representing you. They're also, when you have a grievance, they're taking your grievance and dealing with it. Yeah.
You know, if you opt out, if you opt out of paying your dues, you should be frozen into whatever contract you had at the time. There's no reason why these people should be reaping the benefits of all the work that gets done. It's a lot of work, and it costs a lot of money.
Well, there certainly is that. On the other hand, we have the lowest union membership in history right now, in our contemporary history, and in the United States. Why is that?
It's partially because of these sorts of rulings. Why? Well, then why?
Well, in my opinion, because the unions did such a good job that the bosses are saying, I don't need trouble. I'll stay a little ahead of this thing. And now it's beginning to turn around. In my opinion, we're going to need unions again for the same reason we needed them in the first place.
Well, they're going to be reentering a political landscape where they have a lot less power off the, you know, right off the bat.
I think they're going to be coming back in because now, see, what I think has happened is a lot of people where there aren't unions have kept ahead and saying, well, we don't want a union, so we'll pay a little bit more. We'll be a little bit more protective. We'll listen to all the things. But now it's beginning to show that the people who are running things, you know, in some of these companies are beginning to screw the workers. And at that point of the game, that's when you need unions again.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, even at $13 an hour, which I think is the average for home health care workers, I mean, try and live on that. It's nearly impossible.
Yep, I know. Hey, listen, Seth, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Boy, this has gone quickly. And we're coming around to the lightning round. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC goes on Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, QFCC.com. The Cheese Traveler, Delaware Avenue, Albany, New York, a full-service cheese, sandwich, and specialty shop, now offering tastings, classes, and Friday night cookouts. TheCheeseTraveler.com. The Arkell Museum at Kenna Jahari, presenting A View from the Shore, Winslow Homer's Impressions of the Coast, wood carvings and etchings made after Homer's paintings, now through August 24th, arkellmuseum.org. Historic Huguenot Street, New Paltz, open 7 days a week with new period house interpretations, special interest tours, and weekly events and programs. HuguenotStreet.org for new memberships. And the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting Food for Thought, Damnation, Thursday, July 17th at 7 p.m., thelinda.org.
And we are back. You see, you learn something every day. I always thought it was Huguenot Street. But no, not on the log. That's what it says. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have three free phones open, and we'd love to hear from you on these Supreme Court and on the Court of Appeals decision in New York, which allows communities to do resolutions saying not in our town, we don't want fracking. On the other hand, the downside of that is you can pass a resolution or you can pass a law saying in our town we do allow fracking. And then what happens if it messes up your water? And not only that, I'm here to tell you that when the powers that be in this country see something they don't like, then they figure out a way to get around it, which one way is certainly going to happen is you got a president who's for fracking. You have many Democrats. You certainly have a lot of Republicans in the Senate and the House. And don't think that they're above federalizing it and saying, nah, this isn't for the states to do or for the communities to do. We want to do it here and out of Washington. So that's a possibility. Okay, let's go to, I guess it's Judy in Middleburg. Okay, Judy, you are on. Go.
Hi. I haven't heard everything, so I apologize if this point has been made before. This is about the Supreme Court Lobby Hobby case.
Yep.
And what I believe it shows is how irrational it is for anyone's health care benefits to be tied to their employment.
Ah. Are you there?
Yes.
I think that's a very good point. I mean, if you had universal health care,
exactly,
in this country, it would be a different situation, although you would still have those five guys on the Supreme Court, and they might just figure out a way to declare that illegal and in contra to the freedom of religion or whatever else other excuse they came up with. We know where they're coming from. That's
well,
for sure.
Sure, that's true. And in this particular case, okay, it just happens to be these two particular forms of contraception. But suppose they decided that all health care, I mean, all contraception is contrary to their religious beliefs, or that it's only allowable if the woman in question is married and not if she isn't. I mean, what, once you've opened that door, what's to stop them from that?
Absolutely. Hey, Judy, thank you for the very good call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We just heard, got an email, and I love email here because, you know, you just get it right in. And it's from Cheryl, who says, global warming, 9 billion people in 2050, and then ? And then says contraception. Pretty funny. Okay. Thank you very much, Cheryl. Appreciate that. And let's go to Fred in Sullivan County. But before we do, there are four free phones. I want to tell you that your moment is arrived to get on the radio and get on WAMC 1-800-348-2551. Somebody will hear your voice. They'll recognize it. And 2 weeks later, you'll be married. Let's go to Fred in Sullivan County. Okay, Fred, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I don't know if I want to remarry or not.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah.
As far as the decision yesterday on the home rule, upholding home rule for gas drilling, you know, legislation is either being penned or has passed for being downwind of a power plant, you know, something in Ohio or in the middle United States, blowing this way. The prevailing wind is from west to east.
Right.
This translates to gas drilling in a different township that may be upwind of you.
Yep.
So priorities are first air, then water, then food. And the effects of 1,000 truck trips per well, which there may be 16 wells on a drill pad. That means 16,000 truck trips. So it's the problem with the truck traffic, if nothing else. So anyway, I'll be short. There's much more to say, but
you do have your own radio show on a very good station, WJFF, which we all appreciate. And thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Okay. And we'll go to Caroline in Williamstown. Caroline.
Hi, Alan. My comment is about fracking, and I don't hear people talking about how these companies are exempt from Clean Water Act. And I think if what they're doing is so safe, then why aren't they subject to the Clean Water Act?
You know, I didn't know that was true. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But I do know that the water is the issue, and that if you pollute your water, you are basically fouling your whole environment. And you got kids who are going to want that water. Water is becoming a scarce commodity in the United States. We find that, you go to California, believe me, if you water your lawn, somebody's going to be looking at you. And so with a scarce commodity like water, with its importance to staying alive, it's extraordinary that we could take this chance. At least that's my view of it.
Well, I'm agreed.
Okay. Thank you, Caroline. Okay. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We want to hear from you, and we'll go to Dale in Cooperstown. Dale, you're up. Go, Dale.
Yes, hi. I was thinking about the Hobby Lobby ruling and the rulings that this court has taken in terms of corporations in this country.
Yep.
And the next thing will be Antonin Scalia announcing that we've finally reached the pinnacle of American democracy, of the corporation, by the corporation, for the corporation. And the 2016 presidential election will be between Walmart and ExxonMobil.
Well, you have your tongue in your cheek, but clearly not. I think that there will be some real choices here. But I do think that their power, the power of these corporations, is not to be denied. It's huge. I mean, I hate to say it because I don't like to call attention to what NPR is doing. But, even the lobbyists are on there every night. You know, think about it. That's what they're saying on the network. Not on WAMC, but on the network. They get to sell their own underwriting, as you know. And it's a very powerful, insidious way of spending money and in order to change minds. I think you're onto something. Thank you very much, Dale.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Yeah. And that number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Diane in Millbrook. Okay, Diane, you're on.
Hello. My comments partly is to do with the gentleman that called in that was had to do with the Catholic Church.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's funny that in Italy, abortion is totally legal.
Yeah.
And birth control is readily available, and the church doesn't have anything to say about it because they have the separation of church and state.
Yes, but his point was very interesting, and that is if you really believe, if you think of yourself as a good Catholic. And
correct,
then
but you don't have to use it just
I'm not done yet, okay? And I'm just repeating his argument. I don't like it, but I'm repeating it. And that is that you really believe in it, and you believe this is God's will, and that you have a moral responsibility because the Pope, papal infallibility and the Curia, has come down with this and say, you're not allowed to use a condom because it's anti-God's plan, or you're not allowed to do this or that. It has nothing to do with what Catholics have done in Italy. He's saying the reason I do it is because my church demands it of me. And it
correct.
Would be morally wrong not to do that.
But if I am not a Catholic, or I don't believe that way, and I happen to work for one of these companies,
yeah, yeah.
Then they are telling me what I can do and when they're taking my rights away.
I couldn't agree more.
And on the other, my other comment is, do they cover Viagra?
Yes, that is a point made on the roundtable this morning, And it's a very good point. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. We heard from Vincent. If hiring based on religious affiliation or belief is discriminatory and illegal, how can denying certain health care benefits based on religious beliefs be otherwise? Okay. Thank you, Vinny. And Christina Smith. I just want to make a quick comment about yesterday's roundtable conversation regarding the Hobby Lobby. These religious corporations don't want to provide insurance coverage for contraception, but also don't want to provide paid paternity leave for people who decide to have children. I don't believe that that's probably true for everybody, but it's a point you make. While I don't believe that corporations are people and deserve the protections afforded to them by this decision, why does the corporate culture in this country insist on having the proverbial cake and eating it too? Is it any wonder that people who are lucky enough to have affordable birth control are waiting longer and longer to have children, and that those who are not as lucky see negative impacts on their careers, overall earning potential, and quality of life experienced by themselves and their children? And that's from Christina. Okay, let's go to Pete in Albany. All right, Pete, your turn. Go ahead. Pete
in Albany, okay. I had a question. What is the status of the governor and DEC reviewing the health issues?
Well, this is
tracking.
Good question.
And related to, do you believe the governor is just holding off to the election?
Well,
what is the political ramifications?
Well, there's some people who believe that, Pete. Let me put it this way. The governor was for it. That was clear in the beginning. And then I think he got caught because he did not know that so many people felt so important, that this was such an important issue. And, you know, he is nothing if not a brilliant strategic tactician that Machiavelli would be proud of. And every time I say that, they don't like it. They let me know that. But about Machiavelli, that is. But he's brilliant. He took one look at it. He held his finger up in the air. The wind was blowing in the right way. And he said, uh-oh, I got to get out of this. So he goes ahead and he tells the DECs to study it. Whether he tells them to study it to death, I don't know. But they study it, they study it, they study it, and they study it. Then when everybody was saying, well, come on, Governor, what are you doing? Are you for it or against it? He said the DEC now says, oh, no, well, we can't get done until the health people study it, study it, study it, study it, and study it. And that's where it is right now. We had one health commissioner resign.
Do you believe the governor is being the boss of DEC?
Do I personally believe that? Do I personally believe that? Of course I believe it.
He could be holding it up itself.
Well,
by telling his commissioners to slow down on it.
Does a bear walk in the woods? Yeah, no, I think so. So in the meantime, but your next question, which is really good, a great question, is can we expect that after the election, after he gets reelected, probably overwhelmingly, will he now turn around and say, well, since I'm running for president at some point in the future, I've got to solve the country's energy problem. And one of the ways of doing that is to do fracking in New York State and to tell the country, you see, I solved it in New York and I can solve it. What I've done for New York, I can do for the rest of you. So I think there would be a real incentive to do exactly that.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to David in Great Barrington, 1-800-348-2551. Lots of free phones. David in Great Barrington, welcome, neighbor.
Hello there, yes. We are neighbors, Alan. Hi. My point is about the fracking. And the point I wanted to make is that the reserves aren't what we think they are. And that's not just here in New York, but they just found out in California, you may have read this too a couple weeks ago, it was in the LA Times, that the big shale deposits, which accounted for 2/3 of the U.S. estimated production of all shale oil, is they just revised their estimates and lowered them by 90%. So we don't, and that's from the federal government's energy auditing.
Okay, I'm missing your point, David. Maybe I'm not listening hard enough.
Well, the point is the reserves aren't there, and although it's correct to be opposed for environmental reasons to fracking, the issue really is that the reserves aren't there, and we need to start. The conversation should be about reducing energy consumption.
Well, because, you know, we've heard so many different things about this. We've also heard in New York State that there's more shale gas down there under the Marcellus than there is in regular oil in Saudi Arabia. I mean, some of the claims are outrageous, and then you have to really know what the case is. But to me, the bottom line is, if you're going to poison the water, and we don't know that yet, is any of it worth it, no matter how much reserve there is?
That's right, yes.
Okay, David, thank you very much. Say hello.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Judy in Lake Sheldrake. Okay. Okay, you're on, Judy.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say that the reason that people get their health care from their employers is because that's in lieu of wages. And when... rather than giving workers the money to afford their own health care or to have a universal national health care, they stuck it onto the employers, which I agree with the other Judy. It doesn't belong there. And so once the employer has the option of giving, instead of giving you the money to do whatever you like with it, they can determine what you can do if they have the authority over the health care. The other thing is with the fracking, I don't think that this decision would have been made if it hadn't been for the fact that there's such an active anti-fracking community.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's right. I don't think the governor expected it. I think he was surprised. You never know in politics what issue is going to take off and get legs. And I think that's right, Judy. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Bye.
And we heard from Robert, who said, I have to say I disagree with Norman, who started off. These actions by the Supreme Court are not the legacy of the Bush administration. They are the legacy of citizens who failed to register to vote and those registered who found some cheap excuse not to bother. Where's the mystery here? I've been watching rights evaporate for years. And that's from Bob of East Nassau. And so here comes Bonnie, who says, so corporate religiosity trumps the individual beliefs of their employees. If that's not the case, does this mean corporations can get, quote, accidentally pregnant? Until such a time as that occurs, corporations are not people, a capital S. Yours, Bonnie. And then from Lee, I will not listen to any anti-abortion argument until it comes attached to a testicular responsibility bill that by law removes one. Okay, I'm not going to read that. Okay. 1-800-323-9262. We have time for Jeff of Boston. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, but you got to go fast, Jeff. We're almost
out of
time.
Okay, quick. My question is just simply this. Especially when there are moral issues involved, shouldn't the employer continue to have some discretion in what kind of benefits package that they offer? Certainly 401ks, vacation times, all those kinds of things. None of this outlaws the use of contraception. It's just whether the employer will offer it at his cost or not.
Well, I think you've raised an interesting point here, and too bad we don't have a lot more time. But the point is that this court has done some mischief here in my mind, and they have opened the door to those kinds of arguments, which is anything. Anybody can start to claim religion and how long before it does affect your 401k and somebody makes that argument, and or any of the other things that we know are possible here. So you make a very good point.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, I guess, and then the tie-in issue to that would be certainly the employees, and I realize jobs are scarce, but have the option of working other places where benefit packages are more attractive. And
well,
so these companies are putting themselves in some jeopardy by not offering the package that everybody else has.
Maybe, maybe not. I doubt it. But thank you, Jeff. You're the last
thank
call.
You.
I appreciate it. Yep. Okay. We are out of time. And I know we're out of time. But I want to thank everyone who called in, and I want to thank the people who support the Vox Pop, who comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, now offering legal help for veterans serving the public for over 30 years, 800-342-3661. Foresight Land Services, for over 45 years, offering civil engineering, land surveying, planning, and environmental permitting to private and municipal clients in the Berkshires and Eastern New York, foresightland.com. Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house, home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restoration serving Western Massachusetts, KentHicksConstruction.com, and Hyde Hall, an 1830s English country manor overlooking Otsego Lake, offering guided tours 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily, except Thursdays, HydeHall.org. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. I know I enjoyed it. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the incomparable, always here, always on top of things, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by the equally masterful Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.